This morning we're going to look at the second commandment, and we discover three things in this commandment. We discover that there is, first of all, the commandment, and then we discover, that God promises punishment for disobeying the commandment, and he promises blessings for obedience of the commandment. So let's look at it just very quickly. And this is kind of contained in that section, what we are to learn. First of all, the commandment, you shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or earth beneath, or is in the water under the earth, and then you shall not bow down to them or serve them. There's the commandment. There are a couple of interesting things about this commandment that I would like to point out to you. First of all, there are two words in the Hebrew. Let me fix that. Two words in the Hebrew that are here. One is carved image, and the other is likeness. These are two different words. The carved image is a word that's translated idol, and it means statuary. So that's wood or stone or metal, as it's used in the Old Testament. The word likeness, however, is used seven times in the Old Testament. Five of those times, it is used to express the idea of an image, not necessarily something formed or carved, but an image that we might have in our minds, something imaginary. And that's really how it's best interpreted here, so that we're not to form any kind of image with our hands or our minds. The promise for punishment comes when God says, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. So worshiping God in a wrong way is an expression of hatred towards God. Whenever we think of the second commandment in relation to the first commandment tells us who we should worship. The second commandment tells us how we should worship. It's focused on how we should worship. So, when God says that he's a jealous God, that doesn't mean that he's jealous like we interpret that word. Angry, envious, that sort of jealousy. It is jealousy or zealousness for his own holiness and his anger towards those who are disobedient to him. Then the third part of this commandment is that God promises to show mercy to those who love him and keeps his commandments. When we look at the punishment, God is not saying here that because a father sins, his children will be punished. We know that because there are other parts of Scripture that makes it clear that each person will be punished for their own sins. But the indication here is that sin and disobedience, and especially in this matter of the second commandment, because this is where we find it, is something that has far-reaching effects. If the fathers sin, there's a very good possibility that the children are going to sin. If the fathers worship God in a wrong way, there's a very good possibility or probability that the children will. The other thing that's worth noting is that this matter of disobedience in worship has long-term effects. However, there's a certain limitation to them. But the matter of God showing mercy to those who love him is an almost infinite expression. He shows mercy to thousands, where he punishes to the third and fourth generation of those who disobey this command, he shows mercy to thousands or eternally to those who love him. So as we look at our prayer sheets, then, there are three things we can learn here. God forbids the use of any image created by our hands or minds in worship of him. Positively, the command intimates that acceptable worship is from faith alone and expressed in prayer, praise, and solemn attendance on God's word and the ordinances. And then thirdly, God punishes those who offer false worship and blesses those who offer true worship. Let me just reference quickly an article on the regulative principle by Derek Thomas. I think you can see that. First of all, I would draw your attention to Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, which he quotes right here, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And then, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Now, we certainly know that God is talking about our personal lives here, how we live. But if in our living we are not to be conformed to the world, then in our worship we certainly are not to conform our worship to the world. And that's much of what we see in what is harming the church today, is the church conforming its worship to the world. Of course, it isn't anything new. Roman Catholicism has a PhD in this. They do it very well, and they've done it for centuries very well. Calvin writes, at the bottom of that first paragraph there, "The acceptable way of worshiping the true God is instituted by himself, and so limited by his own revealed will that he may not be worshipped according to the imagination and devices of men, nor the suggestions of Satan, under any visible representation or any other way not prescribed in the Holy Scriptures." Now, when we come into one of our worship services and you look at our order of worship, that order of worship wasn't developed simply because Steve and I got together and said, "What do you like?" You know, or "Let's take a poll." That's not how we develop that order of worship. That order of worship is a worship that is rooted in Scripture and a long tradition of Reformed worship. Now, amongst Reformed churches or true churches, you'll see a variety of how those elements of worship are put together and how they're used. We're a little more high church than some other churches, and that means a little more formal in our use of Scripture in some ways and confessions. But still, the fundamental elements of worship are contained in Scripture, and that's what Calvin is saying here. The writer of this article says, "Where does the Bible teach this?" That is what is called the regulative principle. "In more places than is commonly imagined, including the constant stipulation of the book of Exodus, which with respect to the building of the tabernacle, that everything be done after the pattern shown you. The judgment pronounced upon Cain's offering, suggestive as it is that his offering or his heart was deficient according to God's requirement. The first and second commandments showing God's particular care with regard to worship. The incident of the golden calf, teaching as it does that that worship cannot be offered merely in accord with our own values and taste. The story of Nadab and Abihu and the offering of strange fire. God's rejection of Saul's non-prescribed worship. God said, to obey is better than sacrifice. and Jesus' rejection of Pharisaical worship according to the tradition of the elders. All of these indicate a rejection of worship offered according to values and directions other than those specified in Scripture. And then the writer spends a paragraph talking about Paul's instructions in Colossians and Corinthians. And then he concludes that with this paragraph that begins with the question, the result. Particular elements of worship are highlighted. Reading the Bible, preaching the Bible, singing the Bible, the Psalms, as well as scriptural songs that reflect the development of redemptive history in the birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension of Jesus, praying the Bible, the Father's house is a house of prayer, and seeing the Bible in the two sacraments of the church, baptism and the Lord's Supper. In addition, occasional elements such as oaths, vows, solemn fast, and thanksgiving have also been recognized as highlighted. So whenever we talk about acceptable worship, we're talking about the regulative principle of worship that is derived from looking at the Scripture and seeing how it is that God tells us to worship Him. So that is the instructions of the second commandment that we are to learn. So what are we to do then in relation to those instructions and response to the second commandment? We are to pray and praise God with faith that God, who is Spirit, hears. We are to listen to God's word as it is read, preached, and displayed in the ordinances with faith that God, who is Spirit, is speaking to us. And we are to strip our mind and heart of the desire for any enhancements to help us feel like we are closer to God and that God hears us. We simply take God at His word. He does hear us. He is with us when we pray. We don't need images. We don't need, I like this phrase, special music. How many of you came from churches with special music? The first church I pastored, there was a woman there. The only time she would come to church is if she got to sing the special music. Anyway, and it's not just that, it's, you know, any number of things. Now what we see brought into worship are comedians, laser light shows, dance, skits. By the way, skits may have entered the worship service sometime prior to that, but I can remember them being introduced in the 1960s with the Jesus movement, that skits became part of the worship service. And so anything that is not prescribed in Scripture is not to be practiced in our worship of God. God considers that false worship, and He considers it, as we read in the Second Commandment, an expression of hate of Him. Because by doing that, we are denying the holiness and sufficiency of God Himself as He has outlined in Scripture for us to worship Him. Then what are we to believe? We are to ask that God will teach us to worship Him in spirit and truth. We are to ask that God will glorify Himself as we worship Him as He commands. We are to ask that God cleanse His churches of false worship throughout the world. And so those are the things that we should believe. And then in relation to the fourth question, we think about what this commandment teaches us or draws our minds to in relation to where we are going. We thank God that He has shown us mercy and saved us. We thank God that He has told us how to worship Him. And we thank God that we are going to live in His presence and offer Him perfect worship forever.